1-2, testing 1-2, Benji McKay with a new Sony MC60 microcassette tape in the microcassette player. Darn, you know, standoff with Wyland last night, and her reaction is quite predictable. You know, coy and recoiling. Not a lot said. I don't know, maybe we get it together before the vacation, maybe not. I'm going to give it another shot today. Call her. And we'll see what happens. Mark. Hello. It is I again. Just got back from playing some basketball. And you know what I was thinking while I was coming and going and jumping in, whatever? I should try my hand at writing a screenplay. And the play would be based on the inadequacies of interracial relationships where children are involved. Where so many times the man will not be accepted into the white woman's family, either to a respectful degree or at all, and how that can be akin to making him look like the mammy from 100 years ago during slavery times that was allowed to watch the kid / make child support payments, but would never be given a dog of a chance when qualified, I might add, to become a father or a father again through fears and apprehensions that are many times not that supported by the Caucasian woman and Caucasian family. And it goes both ways, though. Many times the Caucasian woman will not be allowed to get the kind of respect within the black community or the black circle of the man, of the father of the child, which leads to alienation to the point where she can be looked upon as being lesser than and be alienated, as I said before, to the point where you could shade her as being outcasted. Now, depictions of these two areas, these two differences, and other differences too, could be adapted on paper. I think it would be an interesting play or an interesting story that might be able to be adapted into a play. And my first thought for a title would be The Gray Area. Well, this is the thought that I put down on tape here. And we'll expand on that in the future for sure. 62489. Mark.
We're into Sunday, the 25th day of June, 1989. And I'm feeling good, I gotta tell you. You know, I just had a little talk with a guy named Dan Poche. Oh, my mentor. You know, the man who introduced me to radio announcing eons ago. I'm heading down to Baja, and I gotta stop and see him, and he's just throwing off his welcome mat, and Jesus. Gotta love him, you know. He hasn't changed an iota. I'm looking so forward to this little trip. Hey. Just, that's, you know, a lot of bumps. I didn't understand a lot of things behind leaving, and now it's like all of a sudden the storm's over and the skies are clear, and yeah. Can't wait to get down there. talk to the tape some more, express myself, maybe hold on to more ideas for a change because of this little mechanism. But the atmosphere that he's going to create just by being such an old and good friend, great. Great, great, great. So, au revoir till next time. Mark.
Hey, hello, my name is Benji. Thought I'd try out the fidelity, if you will, of recording a tape while driving at approximately 62 miles per hour down an interstate, under bridges and in just general traffic-oriented conditions to see what the presence, you know, by my voice would do as far as how listenable this recording may or may not be. I think that's enough testing. Mark?
Well, I don't know if you can hear the background or not, but I am standing in what is known as the Sea of Cortez, off the coast of a little town in Baja, California, called Baja de Los Angeles. I'm in about chest-high water, maybe 11 o'clock in the morning, Friday, let's call it the 30th of June, 1989. It's been a good day. Last evening after dinner, was noticing that when looking up in the sky at the constellations, for what I believe to be the reasoning behind being close to the equator near the 28th parallel, the stars were so close that you could see the dust clouds and all of the other stars that you don't see when viewing the sky in Minneapolis to the point of where the constellations were disguised, the Orion, the Big Dipper, and the like, could almost not find them because there were so many other stars in between the poignant stars in those particular constellations. The water in the Gulf here is so warm, so nice, and so clean. Well, as one man put it in Cavatina, after spending 2 weeks down here, also in Belize and Santa Rosalia, so I'm at the gas station in Cavatina, told him that I was heading south, and older man, and he casually said, "You are going to God's country." Had a general idea what he meant at the time, but boy, do I know what he meant now. Looking off towards the east, 1, 2, 3, 4 small islands, roughly the size of, maybe Central Park, New York City, each a little bit bigger. Fish jumping out of the water within 20 feet of me, 10 feet of me. It's nice. It's nice indeed. You know, I told myself, especially after not meeting Dan at the airport, nobody met me at the airport. I had to take an Airbus across the border, take a cab from the border to the airport to get the car. Got in a Chevy Max with the taxi cab driver behind an overcharge. Had to get the airport police to intervene. Ended up cutting the price about a third. I wanted to kick his ass so bad, but you know, I'm in another country, so it's like, be cool, Benji, be cool. Anyway, finally got the car, headed down to Ensenada, spent 2 hours trying to find a post office to mail these letters. Post office closes at 7 o'clock. I found the post office at 7:01. Murphy's Law, right?
I swear. And I wanted to get all the way to the bottom of the Prince real bad, but at the same time I got to thinking, you know, hey, I'm here to relax. So, you know, it's like I'm going to drive until I don't need to drive no more. And I've made it to Baja de Los Angeles. I'm relaxing today. Heading back towards San Quentin tonight. Well, you know, about 6 or so. That way I'll do the desert in between here and San Quentin when it's cooler, because driving across it yesterday, man, it was hot. I mean, it was mega hot. I'm proud city. San Quentin is on the water. I'll enjoy part of that tomorrow, then head into Ensenada. Hopefully find Dan Saturday night or Sunday morning. To church, which by the way I did this morning here in Baja. No service, but the chapel was open. Nice church. About the size of half a classroom, but quaint. And God was there. There's no doubt about it. Talked to him a little bit this morning. That was slick. Helps keep me on course, you know. Look, I just wanted to touch bases because I hadn't pulled this recorder out since I put it in the bag on Wednesday morning. I'll get back to you real soon. Mark. Howdy. First day of July, 1989. I'm reporting in. Where am I? I'm about 90 miles south of Tijuana, Mexico, walking along a beach in or near a little town called El Salina. It's a beautiful day, a little bit of cloud cover, but the waves are happening, maybe 15 feet, but they're rolling in at about a 10-foot space between the previous wave, which is very pretty, you know, lots of breakers, consistent breakers. I'm reporting in, you know, it's like what I need to do, knowing that I'm going to be running into Dan, hopefully up in Tijuana tonight, chilling out, maybe see some high life, well, 7, get your church service tomorrow morning, made across the border, fly out of San Diego back to Minneapolis, up to this point. Excuse me, up to this point in time in probably
going to go back to work. We all know that, but realistically recharged, I am. Realistically fulfilled, I am. I have gotten out of this stint thus far in it. What I didn't know I wanted to get out of it, but knew without being able to say it prior to coming down here or getting away from my current environment. A little girl just walked by with a kite. She's cute. Life is cute. Nice beach houses down around here. Wouldn't mind moving down here someday. Property's pretty cheap. Imagine building wouldn't be that big of a deal. Cross that bridge, wondering if I get to it. Right now, the present tense status is what I'm doing. It's not necessarily in control because I can only control so much. That's how that works. It took me so long to find that out. And it's been there all along. You know, after I first started doing these things, these truth-oriented things, I felt really dumb. You know, it's like, how could you overlook this for so long, Benji? That kind of stuff. But hey, I'm a human being. And lo and behold, I make mistakes. I'm going to make some more. I do have situations that I have to reckon with. Social ones in particular, business ones. They're all connected to the spiritual me, though. And I will take care of them. You know, God will show me the way. He's been real good about it. It's so strange the way He does it. He speaks to me in the voices of so many different people, my friends, my relatives. It's almost crazy how He works. But He's so cool. I mean, to create the water that's rushing towards me and slapping at my feet and ankles right now, to create the sun and the terrain that I have been experiencing all of my life, but in particular the last 2 or 3 days here in Baja. I guess I shouldn't be surprised that He speaks to me, communicates with me the way He does. It's not out of the realm of His creativity. He's a wonderful person. A strange person, but a wonderful person. Because He does give us options. Maybe to deal with not a full deck, but we do have options. And it's not so bad. Be able to come up with the consummate result that so many of us have been conditioned to have. Oh well, I'm babbling. But that's good. I'm going to sign off. I'll get back to you real soon, hopefully before I get out of here. Ta-ta. Mark. Hi. Running about 20 after 11, 8th day of July. Back in Minneapolis, did my first shoot for the Disney Channel this evening at Orchestra Hall, Garrison Keillor and Lake Wobegon Days. 7 camera shoot with 3 ISOs and a house camera, so I guess that makes for 11 altogether. What do? You know, big time TV. And I had a good time with it, you know. A lot of nice people I'm working with. Director's name is Philip Bird. And some of the camera people out of New York. Pete Brownscombe. Mike Hyder comes out of Milwaukee.
Commodore. It's a good time, all the way around. My man Reggie's there, just to keep it in the cultural family. And it was a very good show. A lot of local dignitaries, the mayor and whatnot in the audience. We'll be doing another 2-hour show tomorrow night, Sunday. And again, the political overtones within the guidelines of working freelance are very apparent. May lead to some nicer things. I'm happy with what I did, considering everything that I had going for me and against me, which happens in the business. And I thought I'd jot down my thoughts before I go to do a 6-hour shift starting in about a half an hour at the Breeze. Later. Howdy, we've got the 14th day of July, 1989. And I thought I'd jot down some notes here in reference to my HUSTLE, the supplemental wing of how I survive this year as per my abrupt relocating here in the Midwest. I've got a conscience. Make no bones about that to myself. I believe in morality. I believe in saving the minds of the general populace, and I believe that one of the ways that we do that in this country, in these times, is to maintain a sober state of existence from a cranial and emotional standpoint. Just say no to drugs is a realistic terminology. But I'm a realist too, and I look at our country, I look at the system here, and how they project what they are doing about this situation, which is much worse than it has ever been in the last 25 years. I look at what they say they're doing, and I look at what they are doing, and I realize that maintaining a certain status quo in the confines of what you say and what you do governmentally paints a picture that is somewhat different than the one that is really in front of the perceptive aspects of everyone involved. Users, abusers, consumers, distributors, those policing the action, etc., etc., etc. The scales of my morality are tipped accordingly behind what I know is right and what I know is wrong in reference to how I am affiliated with this situation. When I look at the whole picture, I see that what I'm doing is a service to a certain degree because of my discreetness, the difference between being a dealer and being a pusher, the difference between knowing when to quit and knowing how to quit, the longevity of my association, and the basis behind, the motive behind why I am involved in the first place. I think I have a handle on it all. It trails off from time to time because I am a perfectionist by nature in everything that I do. But jotting down these thoughts is important because I consistently do this in my mind as a barometer, a way of creating my own rendition of checks and balances, keeping tabs on myself, not trailing off into any form of abuse myself from a provider standpoint, which is where I'm at. Because I don't use, there's a certain status of rightness that I see on my part. And that has maintained itself. But there comes a point in time, of course, where, you know, you're still involved, da-da-da-da-da, and how that spats of shame-shame-shameness on my part. And it does, but hey, I look at the system again, and I know that if they wanted to do something about it big time, you know, they wouldn't deal with these monkeys on the street only, or a few of the somewhat more in-betweeners only. You know, they go to the source. But the problem that they have in my mind, and I know I'm right, is that they are, in many ways, the source. So, I'm still cool with it, and there is a light at the end of the tunnel, an ending to that story that will occur, and I'm quite hopeful that it will occur this year. So, those are my thoughts on that subject. As we're coming down to the middle of July, and I'll talk to you soon. Mark. Good morning. It's about 10 o'clock on the 19th day of July, 89. And I'm thinking again, so I thought I'd turn the machine on. Just came back from Pam and Jonathan's. They called earlier, or she called earlier this morning with a slight emergency, if you will. Jonathan tipped the television over, trying to move it in position so that he could watch it while he ate breakfast in the kitchen. Something he had been told not to do by Pam earlier, you know, weeks or months ago. And it fell, and then it was not working, and she needed some expertise, and I was able to get it working again. But I guess the reason I'm bringing that up is I observed that Jonathan is, well, his instincts are the mainstay of a lot of the decisions that he has to make in his daily life. Pam tries very hard, with a lot of success, to structure his life accordingly, to have constructive things for him to do, positive things for him to be around. But she's only one person, and she's a little bit overwhelmed trying to keep her own self together. And from a perfectionist viewpoint, which I am not, but I see from, there's a lot of room for improvement in what Jonathan does. And, you know, because of my involvement or desired involvement in their life, I've always got these answers. You know, if I were there, you know, he would be reading more, not watching nearly as much television, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, the thought process, if you will, just popped back into my mind as per the experience this morning. And it all stems from, as I said, you know, my feelings towards her and the two of them, and my feelings towards him, too, because him and I have fostered a very genuine and long-lasting relationship as man to kid. And that's where that's at. Anyway, I'll be seeing him tomorrow afternoon because we're going to go down and do some shopping for her birthday, which is Friday the 21st. Should be kind of exciting. He's going to pay for part of the gift, and I think that'll instill a certain amount of responsibility in him as per, you know, what he does with his money besides want to buy toys. And all that comes from, you know, the single-parent supervision, which tends to lean more towards babysitter of the 80s and 90s, which is the television, and that's all very commercial-oriented. And that's where the toy fetish comes in reference to Jonathan. Oh, well, life is not perfect, but it's good. And that's what I had to think about as per talk about today. So, I'll talk to you soon. Mark. Hi, it's me again. We're about the 21st day of July. The gray area under which I came here earlier this year, getting myself together, figuring out a few personal things, has ripened to a point where it's somewhat satisfactory. However, I have been running into a vocational slash technical situation that I think deserves a certain amount of addressing. I work in television, and as I work my way up the proverbial ladder of accomplishment, both monetarily and in the realm of shall we say, accomplishment-oriented things, you know, working in ta-da-ta-da productions and variety and being artistically satisfied, I have found myself looking at the quote-unquote summit of my line of work, that is the network, national programs and the like, and being able to honestly say to myself that, yes, I can do that. I can do it as good or better than those that are doing it now. It's created a bit of a bug within me to try my wings, so to speak, again. Sometimes that's not cost-effective emotionally, as the recent past has come to show me. But I've got to tackle it, either to do it or not to do it, or to do it right, or to, I don't know, just to deal with it. It is something that will reoccur until it is addressed, as I said at the beginning of this segment. So stay tuned for that one. More thoughts on tape. Mark.
Hi, it is me. Real hot here at the end of July. And I have just returned home from an afternoon with Mary Weiland. And I'm here to comment on Mary, actually. Mary went to Mexico with me. And that was a milestone event, going quite a bit further beyond the ambience of being in such an exotic place. We became better friends, much closer on an intimate level. It kind of set a tone for a trust level, I think, that we both feel. Her in particular, I think. We're able to be real friendly. You know, the more time we spend with each other, the more we're just good friends. And I really like that, liking it more and more all the time. And I guess that makes me just feel closer to her, the more that we're together. And that's the basis for the comment that I'm making this evening, is just to say that, geez, things are going nice and smooth with her and I. And I trust that it will continue. And I'll get back to the machine when the wheels turn to the point where I need to talk about it. Mark.
Good morning. We're talking about 1990, the 16th day of January 1990. I'm Benji McKay again. You know, it's been a while since I talked into this machine, and as I drive down the street in South Minneapolis on my way to a remote production of Newton's Apple in St. Paul, I'm reminded that I haven't checked the recording that I last made on this machine to see just how long it has been. But I do know this. I am almost sure that in between the previous recording and this one, I have not put down my thoughts as per one of the most important things to occur in my life. As I was saying before I flipped over, one of the most important things to occur in my life, that being that my mother passed away on the 29th of October 1989 at 10 after 2 that Sunday afternoon. Now, am I sad? But not as much as I was when it occurred, but I continue to mourn her on a daily basis, and not to the point where I'm inaccessible to other people per se, but you have to understand that A, she was my mother, and B, she was my best friend. Having lost two people in one, I must tell you that, well, I'm just not as open as often as I was prior to her getting sick and thusly leaving this life. However, I am a survivor, and having conversed with her
inevitability of her life being terminated, I
have been put in a position to continue on, to keep walking, and to do it with not only myself in mind, but also her memory. And I do that. She is a point of spirituality and inspiration, for sure. It's been brought to my attention by someone that I care very much for and that I do not believe is too biased in what they had told me, that my choice of words are, for the most part, pretty good. Concise, succinct, and there's a flow to them that gets me to often maybe put them down in an objective format so as for the appreciation of other people. Okay, that's why I bought this doggone player in the first place. And I've obviously taken a bit of a hiatus over the last 2, 3, perhaps 4 months, but that's justified and I'm back. And as I'm on my way to work this morning, I thought I would make note of that and to let you know that the batteries are recharged and that I will continue what I set about to do with this machine in the first place, and that is to communicate and to keep those lines or spools of communication open. So, that's what I'll be doing in the near future. Thank you very much, Mark. As you can probably hear, I'm on the job doing my radio thing with Van Morrison in the background. There are many times when I'm on the job here that the music puts me in a mood of, well, for lack of a better word, thought. And that is true now. Which is one of the reasons why I've turned the recorder on to talk a bit. I've come across some strange circumstances in the last 2 or 3 months in reference to working radio here in the Twin Cities and particularly here at The Breeze, the Progressive Music Network. I feel quite honestly that there is a racial discrimination problem here between the management and the programming department and myself. I've been passed over 4 times within the last year for 4-time positions, and I'm more than qualified to handle any assignment on a full-time level that they may have of me, but yet and still, for a reason that is never quite squared away, I am being passed over and also not being told why. I have probed the legal avenues, talked to my attorney recently last week about it. He indicated that it would be tough to make it stick because of the gray area of admission. And also, from a purely financial standpoint, the compensation for myself and for the legal counsel might supersede what could be gotten from the station itself. I'm interested in this purely on principle, and it seems like to fight it, I would need some technical assistance, which is not interested for the reasons I just mentioned, and therefore my principle is kiboshed. It's strange, it's sad, it's true. The realities of being black in white America, even in 1990. But I continue to truck on and live and be happy in the midst of all this unjust reality
will be better in the next life because of my preparation and the suffering and due paying in this life. Well, my song's almost out. I think I better go talk to the people. I will be back. Mark. I'm trying to get a few more things off my chest, long as I've got about 3 minutes before my next song comes out. I had read a story today about an hour and a half ago dealing with the fact that Barbara Stanwyck died last night or yesterday at the age of 82. And of course, made me think of my mother because she recently passed as well. It is very odd to still have so many continuing or recurring regrets or forms of grief for my mother. I wish that I didn't feel bad or empty or at a loss or alone, which is basically what I do feel. But at the same time, if I don't feel these things or don't acknowledge them, it seems to hurt even more. So there's kind of a push-pull force going on within me as per feeling it at the time and how I feel afterwards, dealing with the feeling or, you know, any theories about it, which is kind of like the way my mind thinks most of the time. It's interesting. It's changed me greatly for the better, realistically. There are so many tributaries in and around that whole sequence, the rest of the family, my post-death feelings about the rest of the family and about myself. It defies description in many ways, although I will attempt to do that continually, whether it be, you know, into this machine or just as my mind thinks. But it continues to be a part of me. It probably always will be. I guess I'm going to put this down, go back to work a little bit, and get back to you later, okay? Mark. Thought I'd get back to you real quick because I've been running back and forth from the on-air studio to the production studio doing production. We've got to make liners and IDs for some of the affiliates around the country. And I'm wrestling with a new one from New Orleans, trying to sound like homeboy. It's not rather, well, it's rather not easy, doggone it. So I may cut this off for today and get back to you tomorrow or something, as far as some of the other things on my mind. Why don't you keep that in mind, okay? Mark. Well, good morning. It is indeed the morning after the last time I spoke. We're talking about 6 a.m., middle of the winter, still completely dark outside. A friend of mine just stopped by to borrow some money, and she's okay. I mean, she's trying real hard to do things on the up and up for the first time in her life, and she's about the same age I am, a couple of kids down, single parent and all. So I really don't have any problems with the loan or for the matter of it coming back to me and all that, which I'm pretty sure it will. Nonetheless, the reason why I'm talking this morning is she did prompt a question to me in reference to a woman that both of us know who is more than a friend of mine. It is Jonathan Marcus's mother, Pam. The question was, how are Pam and I doing? And my response to her was pretty middle of the road. And now that I think about my response, I do have to take into account that, you know, if there is any opinion that I have about our situation, Pam and I, just what is it? And it is, as I explained to this lady, pretty much middle of the road, basically due to the fact that I don't know. I mean, Pam and I have gone around and around for a very long time in reference to our relationship, whether it be a friendship or a friendship and something more. The publicity of my aspirations for her is
pretty much what it is. I mean, it's known by those that need to know for a long, long time, and the fact that it has not materialized to what a lot of opinions think it should be and what it is a testimony in itself. At this juncture in the early part of 1990, I can safely say that things are progressing to some sort of a summit between her and I, and it is on that course for reasons that are proposed by the both of us. I mean, we do realize that we do need to take a long physical look at just what is available as a possibility, both for the sake of her and I, and also for the sake of the child as well. I know how much Pamela loves me. I am still not quite sure the way that she feels that way, whether it is on the intimate slash sexual level or not. I believe that the capability is there, but beyond that, I'm not her, so I really can't say. I know what I would like, and I also know that when I have vividly imagined it, with the trend as it has been over the holidays, it's a little scary, because I do see a light at the end of the tunnel, objectively, and I also see it coming up against my own inabilities to sustain that type of relationship, even with her, okay? I mean, as much as I have desired that for as long as I have, to know that it is more possibly within my grasp, and to see my own reaction to it not being what I imagined it to be, say, a year and a half ago, when it wasn't remotely close to being within my grasp, is interesting. It creates a challenge for me to take a long look at what I really, really want, whether it be with her or not. It'll be an interesting game of chance, and it will call me on the carpet in a very realistic form if it comes to pass. My premise with her all along has been to be given an opportunity to see if my love for her and hers for me can transcend into being in love, okay? There's a difference, as you know. Again, that has been brought in the context of just needing some PT, as we say in the neighborhood, some playing time. The talent is there on my part. The talent is there on our part. It's just that it has not been given the opportunity to perform, if you will. If given the opportunity to play, I will exceed the expectations of the occasion. I'm pretty sure that she realizes that. I do. And make or break, you know, without the knowledge that nothing is perfect, I wouldn't even be trying it, but I have that knowledge, and I'm willing to give it a go, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. Failure being better than an incomplete, if you will. So that's something that I've given some thought this morning, you know, before I go down and work out or get into stripping this wood in this office or whatever. Also, I might add that I had a pretty good day on the air yesterday. It is a proven fact that when I do have a substantial amount of normal sleep prior to going on the air, I'm much better without the assistance of caffeine or stimulants or whatever. When I do radio, the air check is very fresh. My attitude is very fresh, and I'm going to stick with working days in radio from now on. No more overnights. I'm above that. So, I'll get back to you. Thanks for your time. Mark. Good morning. It is Sunday morning, and it's been a long week for me. It's roughly about a week since the last time I talked into the micro cassette.
lot has gone down in the last 7 days, to say the least. Good things, things that are not good, but are necessary. And I thought I'd run down a few of them right now. First of all, I got a call from the production or crew chief, a lady by the name of Julie Hartley, who I've known for a little over a year now since I've been back in the Twin Cities. Her main shtick is to crew different productions going on in and around the state of Minnesota for a variety of productions. I mean, she doesn't just hone into something that has to do with theatrics or something that has to do with sports. So she's all over the place. She's very good at what she does, I might add. And we seemed to hit off real well last year before she crewed me for the Old Explorers film shoot. Since then, we've had about 4 or 5 business acquaintances in the last year, and they've all been very, very positive. And I like her a lot. She's a real pro, and she has a great personality, too. And for whatever it's worth, she's not hard to look at either. Nonetheless, she called me out to Paisley Park about 3 weeks ago to do some private shooting with Prince. It was some very early stages of what is, as I've been told, will be the sequel to Purple Rain. The title of the movie is Graffiti Bridge. The shoot out there at Paisley was, for the most part, a bust. It didn't work out the way it was planned, but that's something that comes with the territory with Prince. And in lieu of all of that, everything went very smooth. There are some underlining areas other than the technical expertise that he may require of anyone who works with him. There has to be just the aspect of him liking the person or getting along with them or being able to relate to them. I was told that I was picked to come out there that day because he wanted someone that was cool. Now, you know, whatever that means is whatever that means. Nonetheless, I was chosen for the presumption that I can fill that particular bill. Apparently, I did because earlier this week, I got a call that I am to be hired to shoot, be one of the shooters, one of the camera people for the film or the movie, The Graffiti Bridge. Ha-ha. I'm feeling real good about that, real high about that, because most of my endeavors over the last 2 months have been primarily sports-oriented. Not enough of it has been camera work, a lot of gripping. I love basketball. You know that. I know the game. I shoot it well. But my attention span tells me that there are other things to do than that. I've just finished two games this week. I got another one Monday, Cleveland-Detroit. Friday and Saturday, I just finished, and I believe it's Golden State or Sacramento, one of the two, I think, will be up on Monday. Nonetheless, I'm getting a lot of basketball in, and even though I hadn't imagined getting tired of it or needing to be finished with it as far as honing my camera craft, using that as a practice session, until the end of the season. Nonetheless, shooting for Graffiti begins on the 8th of next month, February, and I'm under the assumption that's going to take at least the entire month to finish that. And I'm really excited about it, and I may be able to come back and do some more hoops before the season's up. Also, with the advent of that coming to be, yesterday, I did something that was of monumental proportions, to say the least. I sold the first real possession of my mother's, and it was rough getting rid of that. I mean, I sold it to my brother Marcel, which means that in essence it's still in the family, but nonetheless, it's the first possession since she died to leave this house. And, you know, 2 days ago, knowing that it was going to go down Saturday morning, compared to my feelings on Saturday morning, actually preparing to let go of this, for lack of a better word, it was rough.
You know, I'm up at 6 in the morning drinking coffee, talking to her through the fireplace, becoming very emotional, crying here and there, but knowing that she understood that because of her physical presence being gone, not spiritual, physical, there are some physical aspects of her that are necessary to be weaned out and thus become expendable. And again, it is still in the family, even though it is not in this house anymore. And she's okay with it, and she understands, and she is okay. And that means I'm okay. And all the profits from that, and the bed too, which will be going maybe in a month or so, will be going towards that stained glass memorial, which is another thing that I was getting into last week, which will have a harp in the middle of it, commemorating her music and worship of God in memory of her. And that is to be finished and installed and dedicated by the 13th of May this year, which coincidentally is a Sunday, and more coincidentally is Mother's Day. So, I'm up drinking water because I ate a pizza before bed last night. Feel real bad about that. Gonna try and do more liquids this week. And I'm expecting a call from a lady friend of mine who's gonna come over for coffee. So that's good. And basically that brings us up to getting into the last week of January. Things aren't bad. Things could be better, of course, but things aren't bad. Between that and slowly learning the piano here to keep that in the house, and having some lengthy, if not somewhat progressive, conversations with my older brother John about my dad. Clarity is the key word for the last 7 days. A lot of things have either maintained clarity or gotten clearer. And that leads to understanding. And that's really the only thing that we can ask of ourselves and anyone else that we communicate with, is that we keep things clear and understand. That way we have more of an ability to make a proper adjustment as per the situation. So, on that note, I'm going to put you down for a while. So glad you're here to listen to me. And Mark. Morning, 20th day of February, 1990. And it's a pretty day. It's real bright out, even though it's midwinter here in Minneapolis. I just returned from a little one-day hiatus, if you will, up to a place called Cumberland, Wisconsin. Old friend of mine allowed me the space and time at their family's cabin. Very nice setup there on a place called Big Sand Lake. Nonetheless, you know, I didn't do a whole lot. I mean, I just needed to get away from where I had been for a moment to view myself from outside of myself, so to speak, or view my environment from outside of it. Just for a bit, not, you know, to probe anything, just a different scene outside of the window for a little bit. Anyway, upon doing that, I've kind of renewed the charges in my battery, so to speak. Pause to refresh, that type of thing. And had some interesting conversations with her, just about self-motivation within her and her family, and me and mine. And it felt good. Didn't really know what I was trying to get out of the situation, but I did receive some good things, very hard to describe in layman's language. I do find, though, that my patience is justifiably wearing a little bit. worrying and expectations of my brother John, my brother Marcel, and my father in particular for, I don't know, maybe a week or something, or until something new or different or better changes being instigated by those three people. And in place of that, I'm going to kind of take care of me. That in itself revolves around clearing up some unsettled issues around me, and in particular some of the closer people around me. The Dawn thing, the Mary thing, the Pam thing, you know, those kind of things. It's got to be done, you know. I've wrestled with it and really not taken responsible action with it for, I don't know, a good 2-3 months maybe. And it's got to be done, you know, just for the sake of respect for myself and for them. And that is not just coming from me, that's also coming from them. It'll be better all the way around if I, you know, quit, I guess, denying the fact that I'm not perhaps good for a person, or my intentions are not what I imply them to be, or what they may want them to be. Big time concentration on work with the movie, and trying to get in there and stay in there, and also, you know, what I'm going to do with this house, man. It's like, I'm constantly working on it, and I will. And that's a priority, for sure. All those things are going to start to be put into motion now. And that little tete-a-tete up in Cumberland was a proper springboard to do those type of things. Also, I'm playing the piano more, practicing on it here in the house, taking the baton. Excuse me, taking the baton from my mom to keep the notes flowing at 3945 Third Avenue. And the communication with Mark will continue. The Mariah thing with the coyote rap, I'll be picking that up. And I'm also on the verge of purchasing a workout station for my physicality needs. Because as I see it, this late winter, spring, into summer, most of my leisure time here, my solace time here, will be channeled into getting the house together for the consummate resale value, but also just getting it up to snuff in accordance to what I would do if the house were mine, which it is. So, that's an update. Here we are in the middle of February and whatnot. A little Mark, and I'll get back to you. Bye. Hi. Sitting at home here, rather cold day. It is the second to the last day of 1990. Since the last time that I've had an opportunity to speak my mind as I do in this machine, a number of things have gone down. Some good, some not so good, and all of them, or most of them, very, very enlightening to say the least. Without jumping into too much detail before I review the whole tape and realize what I have had a chance to put down thus far, I must say that
many of the thoughts...
We're running out of tape here, so we'll end